A woman impersonated an FBI agent and attempted to close down a Waffle House. A Canadian man returned from vacation to find a letter from the government saying that he's dead. And an elderly couple used Morse code training to escape an assisted living facility. These are the weird stories for Monday on Weird AF News, the only daily weird news podcast in the universe, recorded inside a closet 5 days a week. All right, come on. I got some weird stories from all over the world. A woman impersonated an FBI agent and tried to shut down a Waffle House. The story is out of Tennessee. An East Tennessee woman claimed to be an FBI agent. She attempted to close down a Waffle House because its workers allegedly sold drugs from the back of the restaurant. Yeah, we all know the employees sell drugs from the back of the restaurant. That's why we like the Waffle House. That's why we go to the Waffle House, especially late night. You know, you can re-up on your drugs and get some pancakes while you're there. Her name is Kimberly Michelle Gonzalez. She's 60 years old. She's charged with criminal impersonation. She said she was an FBI agent trying to shut down a Waffle House. How are you? How's the FBI going to shut down a Waffle House? The health inspectors can't even close the Waffle House, and it's obvious it should be closed. It's not the cleanest place. Tornadoes can't bring down a Waffle House. Hurricanes can't bring down a Waffle House. Lady, how are you going to bring down a Waffle House with your little fake badge? Not even local vagrants shooting up in the banyo of the Waffle House will shut down the Waffle House. Let's get into the details. I want to know how she tried to pull this off. The woman allegedly said that she had come to the Waffle House to shut down the restaurant because drugs were being sold in the rear of the business. She claimed she was an FBI agent. The employee allegedly said that she asked the woman to produce identification and to prove she was an FBI agent, and the woman showed her a brown notebook with a Tennessee badge on it. When the employee pressed her to produce a real badge, the woman allegedly refused to do so. Yeah, these Waffle House employees are rather savvy, and I'd imagine a lot of them have had some interaction with authorities before. I mean, a Waffle House employee can tell the difference between a fake badge and a real one, is what I'm saying. It says here, shortly after the incident, our fake FBI girl, Gonzalez, was interviewed by Officer Klein, who says that Kimberly Gonzalez allegedly repeated the story that she worked for the FBI. So she's just sticking to her guns. You think that the police can't figure this out, that you work for the FBI? She's very committed to her role. The officer said he spoke with another witness who confirmed that Kimberly Gonzalez claimed to be a federal agent. Now, this story is so bizarre on so many levels. I don't know what you think you're going to do for your community by shutting down a Waffle House except for anger them. You can't shut down our Waffle House. That's where I get all my carbs. I pour syrup over my carbs. Oh, man, they got the best carbs over there. I mean, if you think this is the only place that's distributing drugs, I don't know. And then to think that you could show up as and say you're an FBI agent and they're going to just close the doors and lock it up. Did you think that was really going to happen? What did you play out in your mind that was going to happen? Yeah. All right. Clear this place out. All right, manager, put the padlock on it. This place is OOB, also known as out of business. Sure, I'm an FBI agent. I'm wearing Crocs, but sometimes I do that. A man returned home from vacation to find a letter from the government saying that he's dead. Isn't that nice of the government? I'm happy to know that they let you know by mail. I would hate not to know that I was dead. The letter, though, a little archaic. At least send a text, you know what I mean? Like, give me a text. Yeah. This gentleman is a Canadian individual. He returned home from an extended vacation in Costa Rica. When he got back to his home in Montreal, he got the surprise of a lifetime in the mail. The Quebec government thinks that he is dead. In a 14-page letter from the Ministry of Justice, the government wrote that it is hoping to collect money from Nick Fatoros' estate for a speeding ticket. The problem is, Fatoros is very much alive. Here's a quote from Nick, our allegedly dead Montreal man. I was laughing. I said, wow, I'm dead? Well, that's news to me. All right, let's unpack this. So the government sends him a letter saying, we want a speeding ticket paid out of the estate of this dead individual. Now, the 34-year-old dead man, Nick, in the story, says that he contested a speeding ticket from 2022 and then left for an extended vacation. This guy's always going on vacations. He's got a good life. He's got a pretty good life for a dead guy, huh? Nick says, yeah, I completely forgot about the ticket. I came back. I got this letter. Obviously, I was taken aback. Pretty thankful my mother never saw it as well. I mean, if she would open this and I was off on my travels, God forbid, you know, she would say, what is going on? Did he die on the vacation? Now it says here, Nick has done some follow-up efforts on his own. He's tried to call the government to prove that he is actually alive, but he wasn't able to speak to anyone. He said, it's very hard to get through, very hard to get through to the government. Well, nice to know that we, you know, the same problems we have in life are the same problems we will have in death. Trying to get to the government. Hey, I just learned that I'm dead, guys. I'm sorry. I was away and I couldn't respond. What are the next steps now that I'm dead? Like, where do I report? Do I need a passport for where I'm going? Can I get a window seat, please? I'd love a window seat on my way to hell. Also, I'd love to know my cause of death, if you could tell me that. I mean, must I pay for my own autopsy? How do we go about this, government? We have a woman here named, I'm sorry, a man named William Corbutley, who says, quote, sometimes it happens, you have mistakes like this, but they're really very rare. Nick needs to just declare that he's alive and quickly. It won't only affect this traffic ticket. It would affect all of his, you know, succession and everything. Nick says that he just wants to simply prove that he is not a dead man walking. He says, yeah, my next step is just to figure this out. Tell him, hey, look, maybe this was a mistake. Maybe this was a typo. I don't know. Who knows? One way you could tackle this, Nick, is if you just show up at the insurance office to claim your own life insurance policy payout. The insurance company will fix this real quick, for sure. They'll do anything not to pay out. This isn't the first story I've covered on this podcast about someone who is thought to be dead by government when they were actually alive. And I always think about that scene in Monty Python and the Holy Grail. You know the one, bring out your dead. No, I'm not dead yet. I'm actually getting better. No, you're not. You'll be stone dead in a minute. I don't want to go on the cart. Oh, don't be such a baby. An elderly couple uses Morse code training in order to escape an assisted living facility. Oh, I love this story. A couple elderly people breaking out of a living facility. Freedom! They probably just wanted to go for a walk. It says here they listened and they listened until the beeps and the boops and the boop, 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 boop finally made sense to them. And then it was time to make their great escape. We have here a very brave husband and wife, pretty crafty too, in my opinion. They briefly escaped from a secure memory unit at an assisted living facility in Lebanon, Tennessee, by using military experience with Morse code in order to decipher and memorize the code to an electronic door lock. Wow, fascinating. Well, putting those skills to use, buddy. The couple who have dementia and Alzheimer's disease are not identified in the state records, it says. I don't know why they're not identified. They should be identified. If they're not identified, how did you retrieve them? It says they went missing from the Elmcroft living facility in Lebanon only for about 30 minutes before a stranger found them walking down a road 2 blocks from the living facility. Now, they didn't get far, unfortunately, and only 30 minutes of freedom. I feel so bad for them. And by the way, how real is this dementia and Alzheimer's situation if they were crafty and smart enough to memorize codes and break out? It sounds like they shouldn't be in there in the first place. They're in a secure memory unit. Obviously, the memory's working just fine, although I don't know what they did when they were outside. Maybe they were just roaming around the grass or something. They have a very limited memory. That could be the case. Let's keep reading about this. Is like the Jason Bourne of elderly people. So they found the couple They brought them back to the Elmcroft. Staff were curious about how the couple had escaped from the facility's memory unit, which is secured by a locked door with an electronic keypad. The elderly man said that he previously worked with Morse code in the military and was able to use this experience to learn the door code by listening as staff punched in numbers into the keypad. I mean, it doesn't sound like that's a Morse code situation. It sounds like he just remembered the pattern of the beeps and bops on the machine and then was able to, you know, record them over days or weeks and then finally put it all together. It's strange that they didn't mix up the password or the passcode on the door more frequent than this. You'd imagine they would change it every day or every week, especially in a memory unit, because the people that are in the memory unit have to kind of be, I guess, locked down in a sense, because you can't really have them wandering. It says here, as a result of the escape, Elmcroft was fined $2,000 by state officials. The living facility told state regulators it will try to prevent similar incidents by checking on residents more frequently and scheduling the man who escaped for more walking time outside the facility with a staff member present. It sounds like the man and wife just wanted to go for a walk. You don't allow them to go out for a walk? I mean, every day, staff should bring people out for a walk. Although, I mean, they're very understaffed and underpaid. These facilities can be very horrible. I don't know the details of this particular one. Some are very high-end and lovely, and then some are just no bueno. You don't want to find yourself there. It's a tough life. I mean, like, I don't even dread dying so much as I dread being stuck in a prison like this. Imagine that. The idea that if you don't pass away young, you basically end up in a prison, neglected by underpaid and overworked staff, by your own family, crappy food. This is why I got the hack, guys, all right? I'm not having children, so no one's going to be able to force me into a place like this. I'd have to be, only doctors could probably put me into a place like this, I'd imagine. My children won't do it. I'll tell you right now, I won't have any children to do it. I have a plan already on how I'm going to live out my final days on this planet. I'm going to take my little Social Security that I have, which won't allow me to afford any sort of reasonable lifestyle in the U.S. because it's so damn expensive. I'm going to go to a poorer country, and I'm just going to spend the rest of my days drinking whiskey and singing karaoke, and I'll probably die on the karaoke mic, and that's a win for me. I would love that. Now, one last statement from the Elmcroft. They say, the safety of our residents is the top priority at our senior living community. We've reported the situation to the state and the families, and we're even changing our exit codes. Yeah, you should change your exit codes and maybe not make them popular song melodies. Can't understand how people got out. I mean, well, what was your passcode? It was
Yay!
Well, I talk about it. Well, I talk about grooving. I'm not sure what the words are. Did I get it? Hi, my friends. Did you have a nice weekend? I had a lovely weekend. I did some shows. I played some softball. It was amazing. I had some Guinness for St. Patrick's Day. I love Guinness. I really enjoy stouts more than any other beer. So I drink a lot of Guinness regularly anyways, but I was able to really up my Guinness intake on Sunday. And that was lovely. I'm sort of paying the price a little bit today with a slight hangover, but you know, it was worth it. It's absolutely worth it. I hope you enjoyed your St. Paddy's Day. I don't know if you guys celebrate it. It's just a great excuse to get together with friends at a pub and suck down a few pints, as they say. Take a few hundred rips off your vape pen and, you know, just live it up a bit. I want to give thanks and praise to Tammy and James Baird, who bought me a coffee off my website. I'm not sure if this came in a few days ago. I can't remember if I gave them thanks and praise on Friday's episode, but I just want to make sure that I made a note about the coffee they bought me, because they wrote me a lovely note as well. Did I already read this? I'm going to read it again. Yeah, my memory's a little, maybe I need to be put into a memory unit. They say, Jonesy, you're absolutely hilarious, and you're the first one we listen to the moment the alarm goes off. You have no idea what an amazing blessing a really great laugh is for a great start to the day. Congrats on the $4 million. You've earned every bit of it. Thank you again for just bringing laughter into a sometimes ugly world. Just a very lovely, touching message that I so enjoyed reading. Thank you so much, Tammy and James, for writing this. It made me feel really, really good. I'm so happy that I can bring laughter into a sometimes ugly world. I believe that a laughter is really the only appropriate response to this crazy, ugly world that we live in. So my contribution to it, my life while I'm here on the planet, however long that is to try to bring some laughter as often as I can through various means, whether it's my podcast or on stage doing stand-up comedy or my videos that I make. It's nice to get, reaffirming feedback from my efforts like this. So I appreciate that. And thanks for the coffee. If you guys want to buy me coffee like Tammy and James, go to weirdafnews.com, the official website. You can click on the little coffee cup, buy me a coffee, write me a love note like that. You can also join the Patreon there as well, or make a PayPal donation. Of course, if you haven't subscribed to the podcast, please consider subscribing on whatever podcast app you're taking this in on, or you might be listening on the YouTube page, so please subscribe. Just FYI, do Weird News here 5 days a week, and on Friday, it's only Weird News from Florida, just so you know what you're getting. And I think it's a great addition to your daily news roundup. So that's just a suggestion. So anyways, I guess that's about it. If you want to email me anything, it's funnyjones@gmail.com. Of course, we have a phone number here if you'd like to call the show, because you have an opinion on any of the stories I did, or you just wanted to say hi and introduce yourself, or you want to tell me I'm horrible, yeah, call, leave a message. 646-450-2012. I love to hear from my listeners. And I'm on Instagram at Funny Jones. All right? Okay, well, we'll check in tomorrow again. Please join me tomorrow. And good luck with your life, man.